My guests in the first segment of the show today are from the Cut and Paste Society, a women's poetry and art society in Santa Fe. Stella Reed, Edie Song, and Michelle LaFlamme Childs will be with me, and we'll read some poetry. And I hope you'll stay tuned to the second segment, our regular Friday Speaking of the Arts. This week, my co-host will be the ever-funny Rob DeWalt. Good morning, Stella and Edie.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having us here today.
You're welcome. Since we've only got capacity to have three of us on the air at once in our little remote location here, after a while, Stella will switch you out so Michelle can come join us. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, Edie, tell me about the Cut and Paste Society. You started this group, right?
Yeah, so basically we're a group of women writers and artists in the Santa Fe area, and we started meeting 4 years ago, and at that time it was mostly artists, and it was basically we just needed creative community, and so we've been meeting monthly and just getting together and doing different things like collaborative drawing or having clothing exchanges, writing workshops, and we get together monthly for a happy hour.
So it's sort of like a salon.
It's sort of like a salon, and a lot of us are moms, a lot of us are teachers, and we just needed to jumpstart our creative practice again.
So what's it done for you?
It's been so much fun. When I started the group, we were mostly artists, and I was really looking to work on a project that was beyond something that I could think up myself, and that's basically what happened. We did our first group project last winter called Snow Poems Project, and we stenciled poetry.
Snow Poems
Project.
Snow
yeah,
poems,
so it was a winter project, and we stenciled poetry around the entire city. So if you remember seeing poems on windows last winter, that's what we did.
Very cool idea. Where'd you get that?
So in one of our first meetings, we just had a show and tell where each member showed three or four slides of their own work and just talked about what they were doing. And just in seeing each other's work, there was a woman, Rebecca Tronicki, who had done a temporary installation using spray snow. And then we immediately all started thinking, oh, what can we do with spray snow? So it went from there. And that's one of the really best things about cut and paste is just having this kind of collaborative dynamic sense of, you know, people's ideas coming together and whatever new stuff can come out of that.
So, Edie, you're a ceramist, right?
I did an MFA in ceramics, but but my practice is more in new media and interactive social practice.
What's that? Interactive
okay, social practice. I just said that in some huge jumble because I don't remember what I do sometimes.
Interactive social practice, that sounds like coming to the cafe in the morning.
Kind of, but it's basically, well, I don't know, what can you say about
Stella,
that?
Stella, tell us, what do you think about that?
Because you've been working
social
that
practice
way, so.
Is a form of art that is sort of taken to the streets, and it is usually incorporates a particular issue or something political around it, so that not only draws attention to the art, but it draws attention to an issue. How's that sound?
That sounds really good.
That sounds good. Let's write that down.
Yeah, and I think part of it is taking it out of the museum or out of galleries also, so people can run into, instead of, it's just engaging creatively with people in unexpected ways.
Bringing art to the people.
Or having the people bring the art to us as well, and that was one of the things with Snow Poems, where people from the community wrote poetry, and then we curated it for the windows.
Oh, great. And Stella, what do you do outside of, are you an artist and a poet as well?
I'm not an artist. I'm a poet and a fiction writer. I've also started exploring shadow puppetry and writing plays. And I find that cut and paste has been really helpful for me as a writer, because that is such a solitary profession. It's such a solitary art. And to have the collaboration and the input of a community of incredible women that are just so talented and so dedicated to creation has been really helpful for me in my own art.
Before we go any further, let's talk about, you have a reading tomorrow.
That's right.
Tell us about that, Stella. Or Edie, I don't care.
Edie, go ahead.
Okay, so it's called Poetry Storm 3.0 Wind. And we're going to have 16 poets reading.
What time is it?
It's at 2 o'clock at the...
The community gallery.
The community gallery. Thank you.
At the city convention center downtown
on Marcy Street, and we just welcome you to come out. There's Stella. Do you want to read the list of poets?
Sure. There's like you just said. There's 16 of us, and we're going to be reading in two sets. And Phil Meyer, Anne Valley Fox, Barbara Rockman, Carol Moldaw, Colleen Kelly, Edie Song, Kim Parko, Lauren Camp. Are in the first set, and set two is Michelle LaFlamme-Childs, Piper Lee, Raina Wellman, Renee Gregorio, Robin Hunt, Shabana Coelho, Susanna Space, and myself, Stella Reed.
Very cool. I recognize a lot of those names, and I'm sure people in the listening audience do too.
I hope so, and I hope they all come.
Oh yeah, and I just want to say how these poetry storms came about. When we had our opening ceremony for Snow Poems, we had a big poetry reading, basically to draw attention to the project, and then as I was putting together the program, it was like, oh, here's another poet. There were so many fun, amazing poets that we wanted to join in. And I hadn't meant for there to be 16 poets, but you know, I had asked some people, no one got back to me, and then suddenly everyone got back to me. And what ended up, it just ended up being so fun, just hearing so many voices at once. So we decided to have a series called Poetry Storm and have poems read around a certain theme and allow poets to interpret however they want.
So the poems tomorrow are all about wind.
Wind.
How apropos to the times.
Yeah, so whatever that means.
Right. Well, yeah, you could interpret that to mean many things, but I'm interpreting it very literally, obviously, thinking about these March and April days that have been so incredibly windy. Okay. So why don't we hear some poetry? Stella, you want to read for us first?
Sure. I actually brought a wind poem, although it's not the one I'm going to read tomorrow. This is an older one. It was published in an anthology called A Walk Along the River. It's called Because the Wind. Because the wind is crazy, I will run backwards, fists placed over both ears. Because the wind rides a gray horse. Because the wind ties knots in my hair, I will wear a raven feather. Because the wind drops the child's cradle. Because the wind whirls like a devil with soft feet, I will give it my prayer flag to eat. Because the wind has four long hands. Because the wind parts the willows and forces its way through the crotched limbs. Because the wind is a flying fox. Because the wind disguises itself as a forgotten child swallowing its own tongue. Because the wind carries a white sheathed sword. Because the wind might find my name in a bone dragged through dry leaves, I will flood my house with water, frame the windows with light, pile rocks against my door, because the wind is crazy.
Thank you, Stella. Mm-hmm. That was called Because the Wind?
Because the Wind. I don't know about you guys, but wind makes me really nutty. Being out in it, it's just so I kind of turned it back into the wind is crazy.
Could you read that last stanza again?
Sure. Because the wind might find my name in a bone dragged through dry leaves, I will flood my house with water, frame the windows with light, pile rocks against my door, because the wind is crazy.
Thanks. I always can hear things better when they're read for a second time.
Huh?
Yeah. Do you have another you want to read to us?
I actually have a poem by Barbara Rockman, who's one of the poets that's going to be
lovely.
Reading tomorrow. And
great.
This is also apropos. It's called Spring. And Barbara writes a lot about her experience as a mother, and I just adore her poems. This one's called Spring. Every shoot and blade saying, now, notice me now. Yellow tulips open so wide, it seems their petaled arms will break behind, while arriving plums flaunt their best of show pose. My daughter, at 3, counts blossom trees as we drive, numbers beyond what she knows, but wanting to name delicate explosions. How she loves the plosive word, blowing her lips and popping tongue to teeth. Blossom, she cries, blossom. Her whole mouth becoming the thing she loves.
Oh, sweet.
Wow.
Isn't it sweet? What visual images arose as you read that? And that was Barbara Rockman?
Barbara Rockman.
And she's among the poets who will read tomorrow.
That's right.
Great. Edie, would you like to read some of your poetry?
Yeah, actually I brought in two poems from other poets. I brought in a poem. The first poem I'll read is by Shabana Coelho. It's called This Morning. This morning the sun rises on me and in me, lifts up from the horizon of my belly into my chest, lighting each rib one by one, making clear the hollow where my lungs breathe me into being and out of it. A whole universe wakes, rises up my throat, tickles at the box which holds voice and soars up through the arches where my tonsils used to be.
Lovely. That was Shabana Coelho?
Shabana Coelho.
Coelho. I can't say her last name. She's also a playwright, isn't she?
She is. She just produced a play, When the Stars Trembled, in Rio Puerco, yeah. Which is really lovely.
Yeah, based on Nazario Garcia's book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was really great. And so Stella has stepped aside, and Michelle Laflamme Childs has joined us on the mic. But Edie, I'd like you to read something of your own.
Oh, yeah. I actually I didn't bring anything of my own. You know, I emceed the last two poetry storms, and I get to read for the first time, and I'm still writing my poem for tomorrow. But
okay.
I did bring in a poem by Anne Valley Fox, which
okay,
I'd love to
great.
Read.
That'd be wonderful.
Okay, it's called Up in the Dark. Put your feet on the floor, Joko Beck said. It's the hardest part of the Zen thing, to rest your body away from its dream clutches. Sit on your zafu. Cowboy asleep on his horse, stone Buddha awake in the dark, thieving morning concentrates attention, bubble by bubble, dawn slips over tenement sills, balloons into rooms, swells the ribs of the radiator, yellow pencil rowing across a sunrise lake, everything flashing molecular presence, light photons illumine the bowl, you get up and speak to the goldfish. Hello, my beauties. Change their green water.
Nice. Thanks, Edie. That was a poem by Anne Valley Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I'm talking to Edie Song and Michelle Laflamme Childs and Stella Reed, all of the Women's Cut and Paste Society here in Santa Fe. They're having a poetry reading tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the Community Gallery in the City Convention Center down on Marcy Street. Of course, it's free. 16 women poets are going to read, so that should be a really fun thing.
And we're such a grassroots organization that a lot of the poets are also going to be baking cookies.
Oh. So we get free cookies if we come?
So there will be refreshments, too.
Excellent, excellent. So, Michelle, what do you do in your real life?
I'm actually the public art coordinator for the state of New Mexico.
Oh, interesting. So you work for the New Mexico...
Department of Cultural Affairs.
Oh, cool.
In New Mexico Arts Division. And I drive around the state and assist with... New Mexico has a 1% for art program. So every time there's a big capital outlay for a renovation or new construction, 1% of that has to go for public art in that facility. So I help them do that.
It's a great job. I know it's also fraught with politics, but
bureaucracy, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. In my former life as an art critic and art writer, I often wrote about art in public places projects around the state. You know, and so wonderful.
Thank you. So you
write poetry.
I try. Cut and Paste Society has been an excellent way to bring that back into my life. I'm a mother of two, and Edie talked about that, and I think that's a really important point. Is that often. If you work full-time, as I do, and you're a full-time parent, the creative practice can get lost in there. And so Cut and Paste Society has been a wonderful way to keep that presence in my life.
Right. I mean, when do you write poetry? After 10 o'clock at night when the kids are in bed?
These days, my new thing is that I do it in my car.
Oh.
I dictate to myself
on
my
iPhone.
And then later on jot down the things and try to work them out. But the ideas now are dictated into my iPhone while I'm driving in my car.
That's great. I mean, you got to be creative, right?
Yes.
To figure it out. Did you bring some poetry to read for us?
I did. I brought mine that I'll read tomorrow, but I'll only read a touch of it.
No,
and then I brought some from Carol Mulda and Ann Filmeyer as well.
Okay, feel free to go for it.
So mine needs a little tiny bit of preface, and that is I've been working a little bit with this concept of translation and Google Translate. And I'm sort of fascinated by the idea of taking a piece of writing, my own, translating it into another language, translating it back to English.
Wow.
And then seeing how it kind of changes over time, and then using that new piece that's been translated and go back and forth with another language, and just watching the degeneration or the evolution, I guess, of that, whatever that piece was, into what it becomes through that process.
Okay, oh, just before we go any further, can I say that is brilliant?
That is so brilliant.
Brilliant use of exploring our own creativity through our interface with technology. I love that.
Thank you.
So read to us.
So I'll only read the first, my little sentence, and then the first translation, which is Arabic.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's not in Arabic. It's the Arabic, English version of the Arabic, if that makes sense. And so you know what it's about, because you won't necessarily know by looking at it. It's about one of those big wind things they have in front of car dealerships.
Oh, yeah, those little blow-up, like, doll things.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's called Wind Translation 1. The incessant flapping hurts my eyes in the way of a beating, but not of me or mine, only owned in its seeing. The wind lashes out in vicious bursts, red sags and rolls, whipped upright amidst the violence, empty but for the wind. And then I translated it to Arabic, and then took that Arabic and translated it back to English. And the constant throbbing in my eyes, hurt by the beating, but not me or mine, owned just to see her. Eyelashes, wind bursts in the circle, hanging red and rolls, skin upright in the shadow of violence, and empty but for the wind.
Wow.
That's so amazing.
And it changes dramatically by the end.
Very interesting. So over the course of this entire poem, you did that with other languages. You took that one stanza you wrote?
Yep. It goes from Arabic to Chinese to Hebrew to Spanish to Hmong to Hindi to Estonian to Mongolian.
And at the very end, do you take the Arabic-English translation?
Yes.
And then
yes.
You give that to...
So it keeps sort of... disintegrating.
But it comes back to English each time. Wow. So what did the very last English translation sound like?
It's Mongolian. Well, it was. Now it's English. I, or my faith, should look great, but have visited many times. Circle, onions, and stop the violence. And in the air, but the air and rolls hanging vertically in the skin.
Wow.
Oh, wow. That's so amazing.
Okay, I think that actually I could write my usual really bad poetry and using your technique create Pulitzer Prize
winning really
quality. Wow.
And you curate it, of course. You know, yes. I go back and forth because there are lots that don't work. But
yeah,
it's fun to see like something dramatic change.
When did the onion appear?
The onion showed up in Hebrew.
Wow, interesting. So let me ask you something. I know that people who are listening this morning, women who are listening, are going to go, I want to be in that group. Is this group open or is it by invitation? How does it work?
Well, I think we're trying to keep it really intimate, and that's how it's important to us and how we can grow in the group. So it's not open. It's a little bit by invitation. But it's always changing. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it started with mostly artists, and now it's become a little top-heavy with writers. Or maybe all the writers are becoming artists.
Or vice versa.
I don't know. Or vice versa. It's all a little bit of a mix. But it is the intimacy that is really important to us.
Right. That fosters the creativity.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Michelle, read us another poem by one of the other poets.
I have a segment of the one Anne Filmeyer will be reading. It's a poem inspired by Bosque del Apache, and it's called Waterbird Medicine. And there are a few lines of it that she sent me are, wind makes a passage for itself, makes a breath for itself, rushing through the hollow bone of my flesh flute, whose breath blows, making music of me.
Oh, lovely.
And Carol Malda. And this poem is not what she'll be reading tomorrow. It's just a short piece that she sent, knowing that we had to read a lot of poems in a short amount of time. It's called Dream Loop Number 1. To suffer a loss of limb, my right arm, my writing arm, the foot I flex as I think, to be crushed like a clove under Krishna's juggernaut, pressed to a verjuice of tears, even on waking whole, night's grief unstaunchable, my father barefoot in the snow.
Oh, lovely. I love Krishna's juggernaut. What a lovely phrase.
Yeah, I mean, these are brilliant poets, man. It's such an honor to be amongst them, I must say.
It really is. It's been so much fun putting together these poetry readings and hearing the different voices together. I also want to say that the amazing Jamie Figueroa will be emceeing.
Yeah.
So fans of Jamie, come on out.
Okay, that's great. So what's your next big project together?
Well, I've actually just started, we've started talking with the New Mexico Literary Arts, and we're planning a series of affordable poetry workshops in the fall that are all based around the idea of playing with language through different art forms. So we're just starting to put that together, and hopefully there will be three really cheap workshops in the fall with generous scholarships also.
Here in Santa Fe?
Here in Santa Fe. It's going to be called Play, Write, Mix.
Nice, nice.
So keep your eye out for that in the fall.
Okay, we will. So tomorrow at 2 o'clock at Santa Fe's Community Gallery in this convention center down on Marcy Street, the Cut and Paste Society, women artists and writers will be reading poetry, 16 of them. It's free. There will be cookies.
Yep.
There will be books for sale and snow poems, postcard books if you haven't picked one up.
Excellent. So I want to thank you all for being with me, Edie Song, Michelle LaFlamme Childs, and Stella Reed. Thanks so much.
Thank you,
Thank
Alice.
You so much, and hope to see you all out there.
We're going to take a break. Please stay tuned to the Radio Cafe.